Hallelujah. Shall we lift our hands to heaven and give glory to God this morning for the privilege and the blessing of being in His presence? Lift your voice and give Him thanks and give Him all the praise that is due unto Him. Make sure your voice of gratitude is heard on high. Appreciate Him. Father, we thank You. We bless Your holy name. You are worthy of all the praise. You are worthy of all the glory. Thank You, mighty God. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You again today for the privilege and the blessing of being in Your presence. Your word says, blessed is the one that You choose and cause to approach You, that You may fill him with the goodness of Your house. Therefore, fill us again today. By Your word, let each one of us be transformed. We give You all the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Somebody believe, say loud, amen. Give Jesus a big hand, everybody, and please be seated in His presence. Again, I want to appreciate God and His servant for this opportunity to stand upon this altar, bringing God's word our way. And I believe, God, that the Spirit of the Lord will grant us light in the name of Jesus. The subject we're looking at this morning is extolling the virtues of love. Extolling the virtues of love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13, God's word declares, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity. It says, but the greatest of these is charity. This scripture illuminates the three forces that rule the universe: faith, hope, and love. And of the three, the Bible tells us that the greatest is love. So anyone that will maximize their lives, their destinies, and more importantly, the promised land, requires the virtue of love. Where the love of God comes alive in the heart of a man, that individual becomes a wonder to behold. My prayer for each one of us is that upon this mountain, the love of God will be quickened afresh in our hearts. Somebody believe me, say louder, amen. I said the love of God will be quickened afresh in our hearts. So according to scripture, therefore, it becomes important for us to understand the necessity of the virtue of love. The necessity of the virtue of love. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible paints to us the picture of all of the various gifts of the Spirit and all of the various manifestations of the Spirit, the administrations of the Spirit. And it tells us at the conclusion of that chapter, it says, however, I show unto you a more excellent way. In other words, when the force of love is engaged, it excels or exceeds all other things. My prayer today is that this virtue of love will be quickened afresh in our hearts in the name of Jesus. Jesus, speaking in the book of Matthew 22, verse 36 down to verse 40, he was asked the question, Master, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus answered without hesitation, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. So Jesus made it absolutely clear that the condition or the greatest of the laws is the law of love. If you look at the book of Deuteronomy chapter 11, which is the premise of our entry into the promised land, verse 13 in particular, the Bible tells us there, it says, and it shall come to pass, if you hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day. What is the commandment? To love the Lord your God. Wherever you see love, it comes first. To love the Lord your God. So the virtue of love is the most prominent of laws when it comes to the promised land. The virtue of love is the most prominent of laws when it comes to the promised land. In any legal system, laws are in categories. There are what you call minor offenses, and there are others that are major offenses. When the law of love is broken, all falls apart. But when the law of love is in place, all comes together. Romans 13:10, the Bible tells us there, it says love is the fulfilling of the law. So it becomes important for you and I to understand the importance, the necessity of love. And I believe that today, via God's word coming our way, the Spirit of God will come upon each one of us, quickening our hearts to love Him more than ever before. Somebody believe me, say loud amen. The question therefore we are going to address is, what is in love? What is in this virtue of love? What is in the virtue of love? And we'll look at the following quickly this morning. And I believe God that the Spirit of God will grant us light. Number one, love empowers our faith to deliver maximally. Love empowers our faith to deliver maximally. In the book of Galatians 5 and verse 6, the Bible says, faith worketh by love. So the profit of faith is only secured by love. Until a man's heart is burning for God, that individual's faith will stop working in life. The battery of your faith is your love. Where love is out of place, faith loses functionality. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 2, the Bible tells us there, it says that, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and look at what it says next, and though I have all faith that could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. I have all faith that can move mountains. I like you to imagine an earth moving machine, a caterpillar, being put in a place. When you look at it, it is a formidable instrument. But the moment the battery is taken out, it is useless. In the same vein, when a man's faith is out of place, a man's love is out of place, his own faith becomes unusable. No matter how much you try to build your faith, it is the potency of your love that determines the authority of your faith. So if any of us is going to see our faith deliver maximally, we must love God passionately. The depth of our love for God determines the height of the command of our faith. My prayer for each one of us today is that by the encounter we are having upon this mountain, the love of God will come afresh upon us. And why is faith necessary? Mark chapter 9 verse 23, the Bible tells us there, all things are possible to him that believes. So it is faith that brings us to the realm of possibility, but it is love that powers your faith into productivity. It is love that powers your faith. My prayer again today is that for each one of us, there will be a fresh baptism of the love of God upon our lives. You believe it? Say louder, amen. By the grace of God, God's servant and Father has been given a mandate from God and has been sent an apostle of faith. And we see around the world today the command of faith. But I heard him say, you can read all the books that I've written. You can listen to all the messages that I have preached. He said, however, you don't know my secret until you know my heartbeat for God. It is the heartbeat for God that keeps the faith delivering results in life. That's what matters. The question, therefore, is how much is your heart beating after God? How much? We find the description of David in scriptures. We are told concerning David in 1 Samuel 13 and verse 14. This is what the Lord said concerning David. He said, now the kingdom shall not continue, speaking to Saul. He said, but I have found a man. I have sought a man after my own heart. After my own heart. That is the secret that God thinks working on his behalf. My prayer today is that by the encounter that we are having upon this mountain, your heart will begin panting after God. Somebody believe me, say louder, amen. Number two, love engenders supernatural breakthroughs. Love engenders supernatural breakthroughs. In 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, the Bible says, "Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, it hath not entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him." So the lovers of God are breakthrough entities. The lovers of God end up as breakthrough entities. And why is that so? Romans 13 and verse 10. The Bible tells us there very clearly. It says, "And love is the fulfilling of the law." And what happens when the law is fulfilled? In Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning from verse 1 all the way down to verse 13. It said, "If you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God and observe to do all that I command you this day," it said that "the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth, and all of these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee if you hearken to the voice of the Lord." And it is the love of God at work in us that fulfills the law, which means that when a man is in love with God, blessing becomes his identity. He said, "This blessing will come upon thee and it will overtake thee." I see that becoming somebody's experience here. If you believe it, say loud, amen. I said, if you believe it, say loud, amen. So it engenders supernatural breakthrough. A lover of God naturally breaks barriers in life. A lover of God naturally breaks barriers in life. You take case studies from the scripture of men like Daniel. Daniel was a lover of God. And the Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 28, we are told concerning Daniel, "And this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, in the reign of Cyrus." In all of these kings' reigns, he prospered. Historians tell us that Daniel was in rulership for upward of 65 years. Kings came and went, Daniel remained. Kings who hated each other, who killed the other one, came and Daniel remained. Why? You can't break down the breakthrough of a God lover. You can't break it down. You can't frustrate it. You can't limit it. From today, I see your breakthrough becoming unstoppable. Somebody believe me, say loud, amen. I said, somebody believe me, say loud, amen. So love engenders supernatural breakthroughs. What else? Number three, love ensures our access to fresh anointing. Love ensures our access to fresh anointing. If you want to enjoy the power of God, then make sure that you are a lover of God. The lovers of God can never be, you know, devoid of the power of God. It is the anointing of God that comes upon everyone that is a genuine lover. The Bible makes us understand in the book of Psalm chapter 89, verse 20 down to verse 24, speaking of David, "I found David my servant, and with my holy oil have I anointed him." And if you check all through the scripture, you discover that the only qualifier of David was his heart for God. Remember what we saw earlier in 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 14? He said, "I have found a man after my own heart." David was a God lover. And because he was a God lover, he became an anointing carrier. "I have found David my servant. With my holy oil I have anointed him." Look at the effect of that anointing. Verse 21. "With whom my hand shall be established. My arm shall also strengthen him." What else will happen? "The enemy shall not exact upon him. The sons of wickedness shall not afflict him. And what will I do? I will beat down his foes before his face. And I will plague them that hate him." And look at verse 24. "But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted." He is a lover, so he is anointed, and the anointing begins working on his behalf. David is said to have fought every year as a king and never lost one battle. The most exposed to warfare, yet the most exposed to victory. Never defeated. Why? "I found David and I've anointed him. I've found my lover and I have anointed him. The way God found David, he will find you. Somebody believe me, say louder, amen. I said the way God found David, he will find you too. You believe me, say louder, amen. The same way he found David, he will find you too. In Ephesians chapter 3 verse 17 down to verse 19, the Bible tells us there, Ephesians 3 verse 17 to 19, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And look at verse 20. And now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according to the power. So the more you are filled with love, the more you are filled with power. The more you are filled with power. I've heard God's servant say, there are highly demonized people on the earth. True of us, but there are also highly divinized people on the earth. That when you see them, you see expressions of the power of God. From this season onward, that shall become your testimony. When people see you, they will see expressions of the power of God. You believe it? Say louder, amen. So it gives you access to fresh anointing. And it's important that we understand that the fresher the oil, the greater the impact. That means that the love of yesterday is not sufficient for the anointing needed for today. You must love him consistently, love him passionately, love him steadfastly, love him faithfully, love him fervently. Fresh oil comes as a result of our burning heart for God. Again, I see this love for God being kindled afresh in our hearts in the name of Jesus. Number four, love makes the believer indestructible. Love makes the believer indestructible. It makes the believer indestructible. In the book of 1 John chapter 4 verse 16, look at what the scripture says. It tells us there, we have known and believed the love that God had towards us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love, dwelleth in God, and God in him. He dwelleth in love, and dwelleth in God, and God is in him. He is cocooned inside God. If you want to reach him, you need to reach God first. He is enveloped inside God. God is his casing and God is his content. So you can't reach him. You can't touch him. He's indestructible. Shout hallelujah. He's indestructible. In the book of 1 John chapter 4 verse 4, the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So there is a cocooning. You are contained inside God, and God is inside you because you are walking in a life of love. Every God lover is indestructible. Indestructible. Daniel chapter 3, we come across the experience of the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Verse 1 all the way to verse 28. The Bible tells us there how that the decree came from the king, that everyone must bow to the image of the king. And the Bible tells us that when the trumpet blew and they expected everyone to bow, this young man refused. Why? Because their heart was already sold out to God. They were God lovers. Their stance with God was not under negotiation. Please hear this and hear it very well. One of the attempts of the enemy will be to negotiate your commitment. The Bible tells us that Pharaoh began to negotiate with the children of Israel. He said, go, but leave your women and your children and your animals behind. Go, but don't go very far. He kept negotiating their commitment, trying to stop them from going all out for God. But when a man is lost in God, when he goes all out for God, he becomes indestructible in life.
The Bible tells us concerning these three Hebrew boys. After they refused, the king said, what? You refuse? He said, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. We are not here for negotiation. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. He said, and he will deliver us out of it. But even if he will not, we will not bow. And the Bible said the king was wrought. His visage was changed. And he said, hit the fire 7 times. Hit it 7 times. Let it go to a point of no return. And the Bible says that they took these 3 men, bound them with ropes, and pushed them into the fiery furnace. And the Bible says that those who entered into, who pushed them into the furnace, died on the way pushing them in. But the ones that they pushed into the furnace, the only thing that scattered was the rope that tied their hands. Their bondages were broken. And the Bible says that these 3 men began walking inside of the fire. And Nebuchadnezzar said, was it not 3 men we put there? But I see a 4th man there. And he looks like the Son of God. Because the man that is in love with God cannot be without God. The Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar asked that they bring them out. Physically, 3 men came in. But spiritually, 4 men went in. The 4th one was there to cocoon them. To turn the furnace to an air-conditioned apartment. And the Bible said that they looked upon this man, listen, upon whom the fire had no power. In fact, the Bible said that there was no smell. Their hair was not burnt. Even the cap on their head did not catch fire. The clothes that they wore did not catch fire. The skin of their body was intact in place. Why? Because they were inside God. Because they were in with love. Every genuine lover is indestructible. By the encounter you are having upon this mountain with the spirit of love, an end comes to every torment of the enemy on your life. Somebody believe me, say louder, amen. I said, somebody believe me, say louder, amen. We know the story of Daniel. Daniel was also told, no man will pray unto God. Everyone that will pray must pray to the king. And he said, no way. He went and opened his window and prayed 3 times a day, as he did a 4th time. He was a man of faithful commitment to God. And the Bible says he was thrown into the den of lions. But the Bible says that when the king came with a lamentable voice, coming to mourn his destruction, he heard a voice come out of the den of the lion. And he said, O king, live forever. He said, the God that I serve has sent his angel before I arrived. And he turned the lions into cats. Every one of them was silent. Every one of them were acting like pets. Every one of them was under command because his lover had entered their domain. You can't be destroyed when you are a God lover. You can't be destroyed. Don't bother about who is angry with you. Just ensure that God is happy with you. A God lover is a living wonder. That will become somebody's testimony here. If you are the one, say louder, amen. It makes the believer indestructible. It makes the believer indestructible. What else? Number 5, love enhances access to wisdom from above. It enhances access to wisdom from above. We look at 2 case studies in scripture. Number 1 case study is the study of the man David. David was a shepherd boy. He was not exposed to any kind of diplomacy. He was not exposed to education. All he knew were sheep. Nothing else. There was nothing that David had as a credential except one thing. His heart was after God. Even when his father was asked to bring all of his sons, the Bible says that David's father Jesse gathered all of his sons except David. Because as far as they were concerned in the family, if anybody will amount to anything, it cannot be him. Until the prophet said, we are looking for one person and the person is not here. Others had stature. Others had what looked like human presence, charisma, capacity. But this one had fervency of love. And Samuel said, we will not sit down until he comes. And when the man came, he appeared before Samuel, was anointed for the throne. This lover of God, look at what was said of the man that was not even noticed in the family. Look at what the Bible tells us concerning this same man, David. 2 Samuel 14 and verse 20. He said, and thou, my Lord, are as wise as an angel of God. Thou art as wise as an angel of God, to know all things that are in the earth. The man who did not know anything because of his love for God knew all things. Wisdom upgrade on the basis of his love for God. We're told yesterday how that this lover of God began to see into the future, insight, revelation, wisdom, by reason of his love for God. When you are a lover of God, you cannot lack solutions in life. Wisdom becomes resident in you without struggle. I see that becoming somebody's experience here. The second case study we look at is the man Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle was a fervent lover of Christ. Fervent lover of Christ. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. A lover of Christ. But what are we told concerning Paul the Apostle? 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 15. The Bible tells us, Peter testifying of Paul. Look at what he says. He says, and the account of long suffering and salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom that is given unto him. A man of wisdom by reason of his heart for God. It doesn't matter how you start with God. But if you have a heart for God, you cannot lack the wisdom of God. It doesn't matter how you start with God. But if you have a heart for God, you cannot lack the wisdom of God. Everyone with a genuine heart for God becomes a repository of the wisdom of God. I pray that for each one of us today, by the encounter we are having upon this mountain, the wisdom of God will come afresh upon you. Somebody believe me, say louder, amen. I said somebody believe me, say louder, amen. Number six, what else? It enhances our giving life, resulting in supernatural wealth. It enhances our giving life. Love enhances our giving life, which results in supernatural wealth. The Bible makes us to understand in 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord. And Solomon loved the Lord. That was his qualifier. And Solomon loved the Lord. And as a result of that, he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. And the Bible tells us that 1,000 burnt offerings he offered unto the Lord. Solomon loved the Lord. What was the effect of this man's love for God? The outcome of it was supernatural abundance. Verse 13. The Bible tells us God responding to Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 13. It says, I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. I've given you what you did not ask. You are a lover of me. I've given you what you did not ask. And the Bible tells concerning Solomon, it said in the days of Solomon, it got to a point that they had to stop counting silver. He said because it was accounted for nothing. It was like stones in Jerusalem. It was common. Remember what the scripture tells us, thou shalt lay up gold as dust. A lover of God is empowered to give. And the giving lifestyle propels him to supernatural abundance. If you look at Solomon's story, you find him giving and giving and giving dangerously. And as a result of that, you find his wealth expanding and expanding exponentially. That will be somebody's experience here. You believe it? Say loud, amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we are told about the Macedonian church. And we are told that in spite of their deep poverty and their trial of affliction, he said they abounded unto the riches of their liberality. They were liberal. And as a result of that, they became candidates for prosperity. And the Bible tells us in verse 8, he said, if you want to see what they saw, then do the same thing to prove the sincerity of your love. So love is what propels us to a giving lifestyle. And a giving lifestyle is the key to entering into kingdom wealth, kingdom prosperity. We have been told that already. If you are going to see this end time agenda of wealth that God has ordained for his church, then you must be liberal. There is he that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is he that withholdeth more than his meat, but then he tendeth more to penury. He suffers devastation. He suffers poverty because he does not know liberality. But what makes a man genuinely liberal is love. God so loved that he gave. If you will so give, you must love. So it is a lover's heart that produces a giving hand. A lover's heart that produces a giving hand. And when your heart is genuinely in love with God, and your hand begins to continuously give, then your hand becomes a candidate to receive. From today, I see grace coming upon us for this. The heart of love will be quickened afresh in your life. Number 7. Love engenders access to divine strength. It engenders access to divine strength. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 to 31. Look at what the Bible tells us here. It says, Isaiah 40, verse 28 to 31. It says, hast thou not known, and hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he fainted not, neither is weary, and there is no searching of his understanding. Verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth their strength. He said in verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But the ones who are busy serving God, busy loving God, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and they shall not be weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint. They are God lovers. They are God servants. They are waiting on God. And as a result of that, they are mounting up with wings. Where people think they should be going down, they keep scaling heights. That will be somebody's experience here. You believe it? Say loud, amen. I said that will be somebody's experience here. In the name of Jesus Christ. That will be somebody's experience here. In the name of Jesus Christ. You believe it? Say loud, amen. And why is strength so important? Strength is a vital ingredient for exploits. The Bible says in the book of Daniel 11 verse 32, it said, those that do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. It is a vital requirement for the command of exploits. Every time you find a lover of God, they enjoy unusual strength. Unusual strength. Look at God's servant, our father, running an uncommon schedule, but yet enjoying buoyancy of strength. Buoyancy of strength. That cannot be attributed to anything. It is ultimately divine. And it is given to those whose hearts are burning after God. With a heart that is passionately aflame for God, you find an individual whose strength cannot be diminished in life. He said, and the Almighty fainted not, neither can he be weary. And therefore, those who wait upon him, he will renew their strength. For somebody here, as your love is ignited today, I see your strength renewed. There are people that are not sick, but they are not well. Everything inside their entire system speaks weakness. No energy, no vitality. They are living as if they are just existing. But today, as your heart is ignited in love, I see your strength renewed. I said, I see your strength renewed. Number 8. Love empowers believers to live a failure-proof life. Empowers believers to live a failure-proof life. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. and verse 8. This is what the Bible says. It says, charity never faileth. Every other thing may fail, but charity never faileth. Every other thing may be frustrated, but charity never faileth. So if you are going to live above the realm of failure, then you must be a passionate lover of God. Today, I see each one escaping the realms of failure as God's love is quickened afresh in your heart. And finally, number 9. With love at work in us, great things continue to happen on their own accord. Hallelujah. Great things continue to happen on their own accord. What you cannot orchestrate with your hand, God organizes by himself when you are a genuine lover of God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And all things work together for good to them that love him and to them that are called according to his purpose. Can I tell you this? You can't frustrate a God lover no matter how that individual tries. Look at the testimony of Joseph. It shows you how impossible it is to frustrate a lover of God. A lover of God, a lover of righteousness, a lover of all things good. They looked at Joseph and his brother said, here comes this dreamer. Let us kill him. And they took him and bound him and threw him into a pit. And while thinking of the best way to frustrate his destiny, they said, let us take a kid and kill it. Let's take the blood and put it on his garment and send it to his father. Let it testify of his death to his father. But all things work together for good to them that love him. Because the Bible says that by the blood of thy covenant, I've set forth the prisoners out of the pit where there is no water. So what should have testified of his death was the confirmation of his escape. He came out of the pit and was sold to slavery. And in Potiphar's house, Potiphar's wife cast her eyes on him and he stood for God. And she said, I will organize your frustration. And pushed him to the prison. But the prison was the only way for an appointment that would take him to the palace. When you are a God lover, your destiny is unstoppable. I pray today that by the encounter you are having upon this mountain in this prophetic feast, your love for God will come alive afresh. In the name of Jesus. They tried and tried and tried, but even their evil was working out for his good. When you are a God lover, even the evil that men are trying to organize, it begins to work together for your good. I see that becoming your own testimony. Lift your hand to heaven this morning, and first of all, give thanks to God. Lord, I thank you for your word that has come my way. And now begin to drink into grace. Begin to drink into grace. I take a decision to love you, but I receive grace to love you passionately, to love you fervently, to love you wholeheartedly. I receive that grace. I receive that grace. I receive that grace. I receive that grace. Let your love be shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Let your love be shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. Quicken my heart to love you. Inspire my heart to love you. I have taken a decision today, but empower my decision. For it is God that works in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Will you rise on your feet right now? Lift your hand and thank him for that baptism of the virtue of love upon your life. Lord, I thank you. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Somebody believe, say loud, amen. It is done. Let's celebrate him in praise.